Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You are tuned to Time to Talk About It, where I'm your host, Sister Diane, and this broadcast was founded by the late Apostle Gloria Cheever Porter. Amen. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. If you have not given God praise this morning, you ought to stop what you're doing and thank God for waking you up this morning, clothed in your right mind. I tell you, no day is promised to us. So we are to give God praise today. Just shout out hallelujah, because we know who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. I tell you, you know this broadcast starts off with prayer. So let's begin to draw our minds in. You have your prayer list. Hold your prayer list up before God today as we all touch and agree, praying one for another. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of kings and Lords of lords, and there is no other God but you. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. And we say thank you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, O God, we ask you for forgiveness, Lord. Forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespass against us. Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, O God, you know each and every person, name by name, O God, and what they're in need of, Lord. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, Father, as your will being done in their lives right now. Father God, some ask for prayer for themselves, Lord. Some ask for prayer for others, Lord. Father, we thank you and glorifying you for being a just and merciful God. We thank you, O God, for hearing, Lord, Father, and answering prayers right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we learn not to take nothing and no one for granted, Lord. Father, we thank you, O God, for your many mercies right now, Lord. We thank you, O God, how you continue to show up and show out, Lord, Father, in our lives, Lord, Father. Father, we thank you, O God, for what you're doing in this time right now, Lord, this day, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, we fail not to give you honor, glory, and praise, O God. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Raymond Jr. right now, Lord, Father. Father, he have came in this world fighting, Lord, Father. And we thank you, Lord, Father, how you continue, Lord, Father, to keep him and strengthen him, Lord, Father. Father, we come against those seizures right now, Lord, Father, and we say dried up from the root cause, for the blood of Jesus covers him right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thanking you and glorifying you, Lord, Father, for touching, oh God, his parents right now, Lord. Father God, giving them the strength, oh God, that they need, Lord, Father. Father, he have made it this far, Lord, Father, and we know you didn't bring him this far, Lord, Father, just to lose him, Lord, Father, and we thank you, and we just glorifying you, Lord, Father. Father, we hold before you Ruthie right now, Lord, as we plead the blood of Jesus over her from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet right now, Lord, Father. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus, Lord, Father, over each and every doctor, Lord, each and every nurse, each and every attendant, oh God, that is attending to her right now, Lord, Father. You know her situation. You know what she's in need of, Lord, Father, and we thank you, oh God, for your healing virtue, oh God, just flowing through and through her right now, Lord, Father. Oh, Father, see the blood covering today, oh God, over her doorpost, Lord, Father God, of that room, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Andy right now, Lord. Father, as we pray continually for his salvation, Lord, Father, we cover him under the blood, Lord, Father. And, Father, we dispatch his warring and minister angels to stand God round about him, Lord, Father. We thank you, O God, for change of mindset, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father, for your elevation in him right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Eddie right now, Lord, Father. And we plead the blood of Jesus over him right now, Lord, from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet. Father God, we pray also for his salvation, Lord Father, asking you right now, Lord Father, for change of mindset, Lord Father. Move, Lord Father, in his behalf right now, Lord Father. Father, we're crying out right now, Lord Father God, for the young man, Lord Father. Father, the man, Lord Father, that carries your seed right now, Lord Father, the enemy job is to cut them off, Lord Father. But behold before you, Lord Father, the men right now, Lord Father, that they may rise up right now and take their rightful place, O God, in you right now, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we praying right now, O God. Father God, for all the senseless killing, oh God, that is going on, Lord Father, throughout this nation, Lord Father, our children are killing children, Lord Father. Father, creating mass shooting right now, oh God. Father, we hold before you the parents of those children at the elementary school, Lord Father, in Texas, oh God. Father, comfort their hearts right now, Lord Father. Father, the shooting in New York, Lord Father, in California right now, Lord Father. Father, we hold them, Lord Father, before you right now, Lord Father. Father, these is our young children right now, Lord Father, creating and doing these stuff right now, Lord Father. We praying right now for your mercy, Lord. Father, we praying, Lord Father, that the parents, oh God, will learn, Lord Father, to pray, seek your face, oh God. Father, teaching their children right now, oh God, to pray, Lord Father. And Father, teaching them to love, Lord Father, other than hate right now in the name of Jesus. Father, for we know love conquer all right now, oh God. So Father, touch right now all those that are grieving right now, Lord Father. Comfort their hearts right now, Lord Father. Comfort their hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Yvonne, Lord Father. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over her right now, Lord Father, asking you to intervene on her behalf, Lord. Father, we know nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Father, we speak, Lord Father, to that spine right now. We say, spine, line up with the word of God, Lord. Father, we glorify you, Father, for you said, by your stripes we are healed, O God. And Father, we're praying for healing, Lord Father. Father, your people need healing, Lord Father. Father, healing of the mind right now, oh God. Father God, healing in their bodies right now, Lord Father. Father, you took those stripes, Lord Father. Your son took those stripes on his back, Lord Father, for every sickness and disease right now, Lord. Father, we come in against COVID right now, Lord, and all the strains, Lord Father, that has been here and about to come, Lord Father, and we push it back out into outer darkness right now, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for your healing virtue, healing those, Lord Father, that have COVID, Lord Father. Touch, Lord Father, their immune system, oh God. Touch, Lord Father, their lungs, Lord Father. Clear airways right now, Lord Father. Father, we thanking you and glorifying you, Lord Father, for your strength, Lord. We thank you, Lord Father, for your mercy, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for never leaving us nor forsaking us, Lord Father. We thank you, oh God, for your blood covering, Lord Father. Father, we take it not for granted, oh God. Father, we don't even take this very broadcast for granted, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, how you use this broadcast, Lord, Father, to touch throughout not this nation alone, Lord, Father, but other nations as well, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father, for all other broadcasts, Lord, Father, that are preaching and teaching your word and preparing your people, oh God. Father, we cover it under the blood right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue, oh God, to touch, Lord Father, our continual listeners, Lord Father, including, Lord Father, our new listeners and those that listen at a later time, Lord Father. Father, you know what they're in need of, Lord Father, and we're thanking you right now, oh God, for your will being done in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, show forth your love, Lord, your kindness, Lord Father, your mercy right now, Lord Father, upon them, Lord. Father, touch and heal their bodies right now, Lord. Father, we thank you for every bill being paid in full, Lord Father, and every debt being canceled, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for moving, Lord Father, within their homes, their jobs right now, Lord Father. We ask you, oh God, to continue to touch, Lord Father, paperwork right now, Lord Father. We thank you, oh God, for increase in you right now, Lord. Increase like never before, Lord Father. Oh, Father, we lift your name on high. We lift your name on high, oh God. Oh, Father, we just magnify your name, Lord. Father, this day we ask you, oh God, to use us, Lord Father, to be that light in someone's darkness, oh God. Use us this day, Lord Father. We come before you continually asking you, Lord Father, for this or that, Lord Father. But this day, Lord Father, we asking you to use us, Lord Father, to increase in your kingdom, Lord Father, drawing others right now, Lord Father, into your kingdom, Lord. Father, let us fail not, Lord Father, to share with testimonies, O God, and what you have done for us, where you have brought us from, O God. O Father, we thank you, Lord Father, when you did not give up in us, Lord Father. So we ask you this day to use us, Lord Father. Father, whether it's to hug someone, Lord Father, encourage them, O God. Put a smile on their face, O Lord. Father, bless them in some way, Lord Father, as we tell them, Lord Father, of your goodness, Lord Father, and Father, how you are a God of many chances, Lord Father, and Father, all they need to do is just look up, Lord Father, trust in you and turn, Lord Father, from their ways, Lord Father. So, Father, we thank you this day for hearing and answering prayers, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for how you continue, Lord Father, to touch David, Lord. We thank you, Lord Father, that what the enemy meant for his bad, Lord Father, we thank you for turning it around for his good. We thank you, oh God, for bringing him out of that coma, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, as he continued to get better, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for what you're doing and still doing for Jeremy, Lord Father. Father, when he could have been standing in judgment, oh God, you gave him a second chance, Lord Father. You gave him a second chance, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for bringing him out of the hospital, oh God. We thank you, Lord Father, as though he is in rehab, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for him walking again, oh Lord. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory, Lord Father, for we know, Lord Father, you're the one that did it, Lord Father. You had mercy, O God. You heard prayers, Lord Father. So, Father, today, Lord Father, we come against premature death and cancel it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. We come against suicidal spirit right now, and we render that assignment null and void as we plead the blood of Jesus, Lord Father, over those individuals right now, Lord Father. We praying, oh God, for you to continue to touch their hearts right now, Lord. And Father, as we prepare to hear the word that is coming forth today, Lord, Father, we ask you to unstop deaf ears and break up that stony heart right now, Lord Father, that they may have the ears to hear and the heart to receive the word, Lord Father, as it comes forth, Lord Heavenly Father. I plead the blood of Jesus over Elder Bolin right now, Lord Father, from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for using him in this hour, Lord Father. So touch hearts and minds right now, Lord Father, as you use him, Lord Father. Father, have your way. Show up and show out, Lord Father. Heal, deliver, and set free right now, oh God. Father, as you decrease him right now, Lord, and you increasing him, Lord, Father. We thank you for the word that's about to come forth, Lord. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, take control right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just say thank you. We glorify and magnify you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, Father, for this day. We thank you, Lord, Father, for what you are about to do, what you're doing, Lord, Father, in this time, Lord, Father. Knowing, oh God, that no day is promised to us, Lord, Father, not even the very second, oh God. So we thank you. We thank you for being mindful of us. Amen. You ought to give God praise and thank him. Thank him for waking you up this morning. Because you could have been standing in judgment. I ask you today to teach your children, your grandchildren. Teach those that are around you to pray today. Touch and agree with them. Pray. 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 This world, this nation needs your prayer. Amen. Amen, amen. Let me give you a word. So a person who is severely impaired never knows his hidden sources of strength until he is treated like a normal human being and encouraged to shape his own life. A person who is severely impaired never knows his hidden sources of strength until he is treated like a normal human being and encouraged to shape his own life. Amen. I tell you, I am excited to hear the word that is about to come forth. I'm trusting that you have already prepared your heart and your mind to receive the word as it comes forth. And know that if you are in need of prayer today, you have that praise report, or you desire to accept God into your life as your Lord and Savior. If you know someone that, you know, really needs to hear a word today, go ahead and text them this number, 347-857-3925, and press the 1. When the word is coming forth and you just have a question that you need to ask, you need to get that understanding. Do not hesitate or be afraid to press that number 1 on your phone to get proper understanding or to just give God the glory and the praise that is due unto his name. So at this time, we will bring before you none other than Elder Carl Bowling. Before you. Amen. Elder Bowling.
Amen. 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 Good morning. Good morning, Sister Diane. Good morning to all of the listeners. We are just thankful to have another day of life. And I am reminded that Jesus said he came to make have life and have it more abundantly. But even before he said that, he said the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we can expect the enemy only to be nothing but the enemy. But likewise, we can also expect God to be God because he rose Jesus from the dead with all in his hands. And I am glad about that today. We're going to get right into this because I have a lot of things I want to cover. And I believe that today's topic is very well needed because I have been doing this series for over the month of May. So for the past few weeks, we started this series, and the title of it is called Recover It All. And the focus scripture came from 1 Samuel 30:8. And I believe that because of what we've had to endure, what we've had to battle with during these last 2.5 years, that the enemy has stolen some things from our soul. Because he's always after our soul. It's not the thing that you have in life, but he's always after to destroy our soul. And your soul consists of your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotion. And his desire is to break that down. But I am thankful for the word of God, because the word of God is there to encourage our soul. And I'm glad about it. So it is through this series, I believe God desires for you to recover it all. So I started this series with the first topic of get your peace back, because your peace has been challenged in ways you never thought it could be challenged over these last 2.5 years of the pandemic. Then we looked at get your hope back, because many have lost their hope in such a time as this. And even over the last few weeks, all these killings, it has been designed to cause people to lose their hope in the living God. Then we looked at get your joy back, because as we've been well known, we've heard all of our church lives that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you're not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to know that the joy of the Lord can and will be your strength. So we went on from there, and we arrived to today. And the topic that I want to talk about today is get back your confidence. So the focus scripture was 1 Samuel 30:8. And I'm going to read that scripture from the New King James Bible. It says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered. He answered him and said, pursue, for you shall overtake them. I want you to highlight that. And without fail, recover it all. Wow, isn't that something? So we find ourselves looking at this story from these vantage points of get your peace back, because the enemy desires to get your peace. And from there, we examine the importance of getting your hope back by examining the story of the two Marys at the tomb of Jesus before Resurrection Sunday. And then we continue on with the getting your joy back through Jesus from John 15:11, where Jesus said, I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. So it is from this passage that I believe that you are going to get it all back, that whatever the enemy has stolen, as God told David in 1 Samuel 30:8, to pursue and to get it all back. So today, I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews 10:35-36, one of my favorite scriptures, Sister Diane, when I first received the Lord as my Savior. So let's look at it. Verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now, Master, thanking you for another day of life. We thank you even now, Master, that your mercies are fresh today. Therefore, Master, we receive and take upon ourselves your mercy for today, because yesterday is in the book and tomorrow has not yet arrived, but today we receive your mercies today. I pray right now, Master, for the families in Buffalo, New York, and the families in Florida where these massacres have taken place. The enemy is loose, but Master, we are your voice in the earth. Therefore, since the word has concluded and said that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein, we plead your blood over the plan of the enemy. We plead your blood over the attacks, of killing of people that you have created, that these people and this spirit must be stopped now. But as you said to David, pursue. We ask you now to show us how to pursue, that we may overtake this thing, because you have given us the authority in the earth through the name and the blood of Jesus. Bless this word today, for you said in your word, Master, that your word would not go out and return void unto you, but that your word would accomplish that which pleases you and prosper where you send it. Holy Spirit, I yield to you now, that even as Paul said, I come in demonstration of the power of you, Holy Spirit. So speak through me now that your people may be set free. Speak through me now, that your people may regain their confidence in the power of you through the blood of Jesus and yet through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So from the onset of Hebrews 10 and 35, we can glean quickly into four things because the writer is very emphatic about what he is pointing out. Cast not away your confidence. There it is. There it is. Right out of the gate, the writer is letting you know about the importance of your confidence, because in this life, you are going to need some confidence in something or someone. Are you with me? Confidence, confidence, confidence. Having confidence can lead into great reward, because there are some rewards you are not going to be able to apprehend without having confidence. So you can't be timid. You can't be passive. You can't be bashful or easily intimidated if you are going to gain every reward that God has in store for you. So confidence brings rewards. But we also see here that confidence brings endurance. It's right here in verse 36. For you have need of endurance. And the reality of it is that some rewards require you to have confidence, but the confidence gives you the ability to endure until you see the reality of that reward in your life. Ah. How many know that everything doesn't happen instantly? Sometimes in life we have to fight through whatever is going on in our lives until the reality of the reward of God has promised manifests or appears in our lives. And in order to do that, we need the confidence which brings the ability to endure until it comes to pass. And right now, over the last 2 weeks in this country, we need endurance. Even around the world, we need endurance because those people are being attacked in the Ukraine from Russia without just cause other than hate. So they need endurance. Are you with me? But also notice here that confidence also empowers us to do the will of God. Look at the text in verse 36. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, I want you to highlight. So no matter what's going on, and sometimes it doesn't feel good, sometimes it doesn't look good, we still must continue to do the will of God through his word, which is to say that some rewards will not come until you do the will of God. It's not just that God wants it for you, or it's not just that you want it for yourself. All of that can be true. But what you have to understand is you are going to have to do the will of God in order for some rewards to appear in your life. And let me clarify this thing, because I've heard this very consistently over my 25 years of ministry, that I hear people will lull themselves into, well, what is the will of God? Let me remove this confusion from your life. Genesis to Revelation is the word of God because it's God's word. God's word is infallible. So what has to happen from there is understanding of the word. Why? Because the word said in Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. But it's all about getting, getting understanding. So it's never a fact of what is the will of God. The Bible is the will of God. It lies in the understanding of how to implement that word of God into your life. So I know many times we can fall into something that if I just pray to God, it's all going to happen. But the scripture didn't just say to pray, but after you have done the will of God, there it is. There it is. Because it's not just in my praying, it's also in my doing. It's not just in my reading of the word, it's also in my doing. Am I right about it? Many have fallen victim to the name it and claim it movement from years ago. But the writer here in Hebrews makes it very clear that after we have done the will of God, then rewards will appear. So praying is the will of God. Reading God's word is the will of God. But also there is a performance. Remember Moses when he got to the Red Sea? Pharaoh's army on one side, the mountains on the other side, and the Red Sea in front of him. And he cried out to God, and God said, wherefore thou criest unto me? Stretch out your rod. So he had Moses do something. And that's what it's all about. When God reveals to us through his word to do, while we're doing his will through his word, things will appear. So this isn't magic. You have to do the will of God. So the fourth thing the writer points out is by doing the will of God, we receive our promise. Look at verse 36 again. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So there's rewards, there's promises. And here in this passage, we are given keys of how to receive rewards and how we possess promises with confidence. Do not cast away your confidence. So it is here where I want to talk to you. Because many times, many of us struggle with our confidence, and rightfully so. Because when I look back over my life, I have had to fight for my confidence in God's promises over and over again. Because the enemy, through life, is trying to take it away, to destroy it, so that I would give up on God. Are you with me? All of these massacres over these last couple of weeks is designed to cause us to give up on God, to lose our confidence, having that boldness, that assuredness to succeed. Anyone remember Shirley Chisholm? She was the first African-American woman to serve in Congress. She's the first African woman to seek nomination from Congress for the presidency. And I remember that one of the things she loved doing was speaking at historically black colleges. I remember a young man from a college once who had to introduce her at a commencement ceremony. And afterwards, he shared his experience. And he began by saying how much he was shaking on the inside, even in the light of having a syllabus to read from concerning Shirley Chisholm. So in actuality, he shouldn't have been nervous. But he, and because of the nervousness, said the pages seemed scrambled in his eyesight. And it was then, he said, he took a deep breath. And just before he started reading her resume, his confidence jumped out of him to read what he read. So there it is. There it is. Cast not away your confidence. And after you've done the will of God, in other words, what the young man realized through having confidence that it was in his doing, that the reward of introducing Shirley Chisholm became his. So you might feel insecure in the moment when your confidence is challenged, but it is in your doing to fight through the moment of insecurity that the reward of doing will become a reality in your life. So make this declaration with me right here. Confidence matters. Confidence matters. So if you are going to fulfill the call of God in life, you need to understand that confidence matters because you are going to need it. And even though you may have competence, you are going to need confidence. Let me say it this way. You can be competent, have the ability to do something, but if you are not confident, your competence will not manifest. So confidence matters. So let's walk this thing down. What is confidence? Confidence is not the same as cockiness. Confidence is not the same as arrogance. Here it is. Confidence says, I know who I am, and I know what I am able to do. But arrogance says, I know who I am, I know what I'm able to do, but I have forgotten who gave the ability to me. Humble confidence says, I know who I am and what I am able to do, and I know who gave it to me. I am thankful that God has given the ability to me. So that's humble confidence. But also, I want to point out that it's wrong to assume that humility and confidence can't coexist. They absolutely can, because humility simply remembers where your gifting comes from. So the understanding is this. That confidence is the delivery of your competence. Confidence is that multiplier of your capacity. So you can have capacity. You can have competence. But if you do not have confidence, both capacity and competence will be squandered in the moment. So I want to talk to you through something here, because in life, if we are not careful, our confidence can begin to leak. Why? Because of circumstances. And I know over these last few weeks and even up until yesterday, and the things that have happened with these killings has caused people's confidence to begin to leak in a negative way, when you begin to lose confidence. And I want to give you some things to think about here that are signs that a person is either losing their confidence or has lost their confidence. So when we talk about confidence, I need you to know that when you start leaking confidence, you will start having a lack of control in your life through fear. What happens is that you begin to feel like you have little control over what happens in your life. You begin to just live your life, and your life is just one where circumstances and situations just presses in on you, and you don't have the confidence to fight back. When you lose confidence, when confidence begins to leak, your life will begin to see yourself engaged in negative social comparison. You begin looking at what everybody else has, what everybody else is doing, and you start comparing yourself with others. And I have found more times than not, when you compare yourself with others, you always end up on the short end of the stick. Are you with me? You're sitting there on your computer, on your phone, looking at Instagram or Facebook, and you are comparing your worst day with somebody's best day on these social networks. And you wonder why you can't get no peace at night. You're comparing, and that comparison is causing you to devalue and dismiss who you are and what you have. So when you start leaking confidence, you begin having problems asking for what you need. You won't speak up for yourself. You're too timid and bashful to speak up on what you need or what works for you or what you require for this situation. You kind of take life in situations as it comes. You let people do as they want to you instead of you speaking up for yourself because you have lack of confidence. Are you with me? When you are leaking confidence, you begin to worry and be filled with self-doubt. You begin to worry. How do I come across? How do I look? Do people receive me? Do people accept me? You begin to doubt yourself and your own ability, in your own competence, in your own skills. You begin to doubt, do I belong here, when you are leaking confidence? When you are leaking confidence, you begin having trouble accepting positive feedback. Watch this here. People begin giving you compliments, and you begin having trouble receiving that compliment because that compliment does not match the way you feel about yourself. So you distrust what someone says and you dismiss it because you don't see yourself in that same light. So you have difficulty accepting compliments and you downplay compliments. You dismiss it. You shrug it off instead of just receiving it with a thank you. I'm talking about leaking confidence. Are you with me? When you begin leaking confidence and losing your confidence, you have a fear of failure. You won't step out into new territory. You stick with what is familiar. You stick with what is comfortable. You stick with what is easy. And you have a fear of failure. You doubt your ability to achieve and accomplish and have success. And catch this here. You play life small instead of living life big through Christ Jesus. And there's a difference between living big through Christ Jesus and living big through the world. Are you with me? When you are leaking or lacking confidence, you, and watch this one here because this is an important one, you begin to lack boundaries. All too often I see this in people because they have low confidence and low self-esteem. They don't establish any boundaries in their lives. And so people then begin to come through and override those non-existent boundaries without them saying anything to them. They talk to them any kind of way, treat them any kind of way, because they have not established any boundaries. And why haven't they established any boundaries? Because they have a lack of confidence. So the last thing I want you to know about leaking confidence is you become easily a people person, a people-pleasing person. This often involves neglecting their own needs, saying yes to things they may not want to do, and feeling guilty about saying no. You want to please others. You're seeking others' approval because you lack confidence, because you have not approved yourself. So now you're seeking other people's approval, and in order to get other people's approval, you will do anything to please them, even though it may not align with your own value system, a lack of confidence, a lack of confidence. I think I need to work on this today, because in order for you to be who God has called you to be, to do what God has called you to do, and to have what God has called for you to have, to go where God wants you to go, you need confidence. Do not throw away your confidence, because it has great reward. Because somebody listening today needs to understand the importance of getting your confidence back, because you have identified with one or more of the six things I've talked about that are signs in your life when you're leaking confidence. But I have come by to tell you today that you are going to recover it all, that you are going to get back your confidence from what the enemy has tried to take from you over the last 2.5 years. You are going to get back your self-esteem in the name of Jesus. You are going to get your boundaries back in the name of Jesus. You are going to get your confidence back in God's word in the name of Jesus. Get your confidence back. So let's look at a familiar scripture and a story in Judges, the 6th chapter, where we see an individual by the name of Gideon who's having an identity crisis. He is struggling in the area of confidence. He is lacking the ability to be what God has called him to be. So turn with me to Judges, the 6th chapter, verse 1, where we're going to start reading, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation Bible. It says, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Verse 2, the Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Ah, I want you to highlight that, because there it is. This is what happens when you begin to lose confidence. You withdraw from life and begin to hide. You don't want anything negative to come near you, so you hide from life. Verse 3, whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel. Verse 4, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza, they left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. Verse 5, these enemy hordes coming with their livestock and tents were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. Verse 6, so Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. I want to pause right there so that we can grasp and understand the position of having a lack of confidence, because this will put you in and under by reducing your life, causing you to hide in life, and you will find the enemy will come to steal, kill, and destroy when he sees you trying to hide from life. And it is then that the enemy will destroy your reward, your harvest, your promise, and all that God has called for you to do, because he sees your lack of confidence. Ah, look at it in the scripture, because it is something that after the children of Israel had planted crops in the ground, labored over those crops, and at the time of harvest, the enemy comes and steals the crops because they were hiding. This is why I want to talk about having confidence today, because the enemy desires to come to steal, kill, and destroy all of what God has for you, because you have lost your confidence. He would love to rob you of your harvest, the very thing you have labored for through prayer, through fasting, what you have served for, what you have been giving to the ministry for, to the church. Because the enemy is thinking that you will not stand up for what is yours. You're never going to push back against him, is what's in his mindset. But I'm here to tell you that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and of a sound mind. That's what Paul told Timothy. So don't just stand there and allow the enemy to steal what God says is yours through his promises. That's why the Holy Spirit led me to pray that prayer about 1 Samuel 30 and 8. Yes, these killings are happening, and they have happened, but God also has given us the authority to pursue solutions and pursue the enemy who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I say to the families who are in bereavement, God is going to launch a pursuit after the enemy like never before, because you know who he really is? He is a fugitive on the loose. And society tells me, and the laws of the land tells me, that fugitives get arrested. So it's time to put the enemy under arrest. And you have to have confidence in the living God and through the Holy Spirit's power to do so. So the enemy wants to strip you of everything, as verse 5 dictates to us, and lead you starving. So now let's jump down to verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat the great tree of which belonged to Joash, of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, the son of Joash, was threshing the wheat some of the precious from the Midianites. Verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." I like that. This is why you ought to have confidence in yourself, because of the way God sees you. The angel told the angel to tell Gideon to call him mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Verse 13, "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" See, that's what the devil wants to make you ask in the light of what has happened in the last 2 weeks. Why has the Lord allowed this to happen? Because the enemy is on the loose, because sin has entered the world. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Get your confidence back. So the verse goes on to say, "And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." See what a lack of confidence is? Gideon actually pointed out in remembrance of what God did bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. But because he lacked confidence, now he's questioning history that God has shown them. How? Now catch the Lord's response in verse 14. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with strength, with the strength you have, and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." I want you to highlight that whole verse 14. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the Lord knows more about me than I sometimes want to admit about myself. Because after God has spoken directly to you and says, go with the strength you have, then it is what it is. You can put your faith in that. But now look at what a lack of confidence from hiding caused Gideon to respond and what the Lord just said. "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." Can I give you a nugget here? Whenever God say to go, it may not turn out to your good if you do so, or should I say it may not turn out to your good if you don't. But God said go. And when God say go, he means just that. In spite of what you are facing. Yes, the shootings are tragic, and it has stabbed me in the heart. As a matter of fact, if we just roll the wheel real backwards, all the way back to 2 years ago when George Floyd was killed on national television by a police officer, that's enough to shake your confidence. But God has not told us to fold up our tent yet. And guess what? He never will. So we must continue to go forward in the promises of the living God through his word. So Gideon goes on with the narrative that if God doesn't see who he is and where he comes from or how weak he may think he is. Can you see just how small Gideon thought of his family and himself? He gives God the narrative of how small and weak his family is, and that he is even the weakest of that group of people. Wow. Talk about a lack of confidence. But look at what God said and replied to Gideon in the face of all of that. The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites." It's if you were fighting against one man. I had to laugh here because God didn't even acknowledge any of what Gideon said. And God then kicks it up a notch and describes how Gideon will defeat the Midianites. He said, I will be with you. And you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Ah, I want to park here and speak that word of encouragement that we will defeat that killing spirit over every state in this union. I plead the blood of Jesus against that killing spirit and push back. I push back against the spirit of hatred around this world. I push back through the blood of Jesus against the hatred that's being levied from Russia to the Ukraine. I push back against anyone in this country, in the Senate and Congress, who do not want to put things in place to protect us in the name of Jesus. So God is basically telling Gideon that all of what you said is irrelevant in light of God's will. Ah. Because he is God, and nothing can stop the will of God, his plan, or his purpose for your life. So now Gideon is trying to get on board with God, but still holding on to that lack of confidence. But let's look at verses 17 and 18. Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Verse 18. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. Now Gideon is warming up, and he's telling the Lord, because back that time, they had to bring a sacrifice unto the Lord, and that's what he's trying to do. Ah, I love this here, because it shows us Gideon struggling with his identity. He has lost his confidence. The enemy has beat him down in life, and now he is hiding in life, even when the angel of the Lord comes to confirm his life. And Gideon cannot even receive the confirmation from the angel because of a lack of confidence. As a matter of fact, to show us just how bad Gideon's confidence was, he couldn't even receive God's vote of confidence for him when God said go. Ah, this is why it's important that the writer in Hebrews said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. So I want to give you this nugget now. Never confuse your identity with your circumstances. I have to say that again because I'm a cancer survivor. Never confuse your identity with your circumstances. My body was attacked with the circumstances of cancer, but it did not change my identity in promising Christ that by his stripes I am healed. Because the danger in that is you are looking at what's outside of you versus what God has placed inside of you through the Holy Spirit. For greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So don't get hung up, stuck on what's going on outside of you versus what's going on the inside of you. Because it won't work. It won't work. Gideon said, God said to Gideon, go, and I will be with you. I want to tell you that your identity is not in your circumstances. But God's desire is that you listen to what's going on the inside of you, because your identity is found in your Creator who lives in you. Genesis 1 and 26 says, then God said, let us, that's Jesus, make human beings in our image to be like us. Jesus even prayed the prayer and told Peter in Luke the 21st chapter, verse 31, Peter, I prayed that your faith fails not, my Lord, my God. And when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. Sometimes we need to be converted over and over and over again. That's why it's important to be filled with the Spirit of God, because sometimes circumstances can look so grim, like it has looked over the last 2 weeks with these killings, that it will shake you sometimes. But Jesus prayed the prayer that your faith fail not. So do not cast away your confidence, which is tied to your faith. So make this confession with me. I am somebody in Christ Jesus. Some of us listening today are battling what I called old voices. As I was preparing this series, I was reminded about old voices that I have had to deal with from my past. Because old voices have the tendency to come back into your thought process during critical times of your life, and that has surely happened in mine, and I'm quite sure it has happened in yours too. And if it hasn't, it's going to. That's why it's important that you don't cast away your confidence. Let me explain it to you this way. Old voices will come back when you are getting ready to enter a new opportunity or assignment from God that will cause you to go forward in God. The old voices will say, You ain't good enough. You don't have enough education. You don't belong here. And catch this one. Who do you think you are? Are you with me? Old voices will say, you don't have what it takes. Ah. I think back to when my pastor friends were getting their doctorate degrees. And my old voices would say, you're not good enough to even be in the room with these guys. Who do you think you are? You don't have a degree. You can't compare to them. They have been pastoring twice as long than you have, and now they're walking across getting a doctorate degree. Ah, but it is in those moments I had a choice. I could agree with that old negative voice or disagree with that voice through who the Word of God says I am. Ah, are you with me? Because God has created you with a purpose. Don't get me wrong. I believe in education, but not having a certain degree does not define who God has created you to be and the purpose he has called you to. A very familiar scripture we quote all the time, but sometimes get stuck in only using it in certain situations of grief. But let's look at Romans 8 and 28 from the New International Version Bible. It says, and we know, that in all things God's work for the good of those who love him. I want you to highlight those who love him because that's important. Who have been called according to his purpose. Look at that. But it's your love in God that triggers your confidence when things get tough because you remember who called you. Ah, there it is, there it is. Since God works things for my good, and catch this nugget, that knocks a lot of people out of believing who they are in Christ Jesus. Those who love him. Oh, my God. God knows who loves him. And since he knows who loves him, that's the designation that puts you in the ranks of who have been called according to his promise. So don't cast away your confidence because of negative voices in your mind and negative voices from the outside of you. Because your future depends on whether you are in agreement with those negative voices or whether you are in disagreement with those negative voices through the power of God's word. So God's voice is greater than the old negative voices from your past. That's why it's important to read the word. And I definitely want to share this nugget with you. God showed this to me probably 15 years ago. The Bible says, I believe it's Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing. When you by yourself, read the word aloud to yourself. How? Because faith comes by hearing. My time is almost out. But I want to point this scripture out to you from Proverbs 28:1 from the New Living Translation Bible. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. I want you to highlight that. But the godly are as bold as lions. You may be listening today, and you may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but I'm telling you that if you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, God will cause you to be as bold as a lion. Did you catch the nugget in that? The godly are as bold as lions. There it is. There it is. The importance of not casting away your confidence. So when the old negative voices try to come up in your thought process in the face of God moving you forward in him, you have to get a picture of a lion in your mind and say to yourself that the Bible declares that I am as bold as a lion. One of the things I like looking at is those wilderness shows on National Geographic about lions. I love looking at the lions because it'll show you something. And there it is. You know what I love about a male-dominant lion? He's not the biggest animal out on the safari, but his mindset is that he is the baddest, boldest animal out on the safari. So if you walk up on him, you get what you get. A lion will roar at you or another animal when that animal approaches him. And I'm talking about the male-dominant lion, the one that guards the pride. If you come across his territory, oh, he's going to roar at you. Yes, he is. Are you with me? So it's in that moment that I say to myself, I've got to get my roar back. Because when you walk up on a male-dominant lion, he's going to roar at you viciously. So you've got to roar at the voice of the enemy. Ah, people of God, I need you to roar back at the enemy through these killings. I need you to roar back in whatever state that you live in the United States, to roar back at injustice and suppression. Roar back in Jesus' name. I wish I could let you hear the roar of a lion right now. I wish I could pull that up and let you hear it right now. Because a lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away. I talked to a pastor friend of mine who went on safari a few years ago. And he said, man, you know, you're laying there at nighttime and, you know, just you're excited for being in the country. And in the middle of the night, you'll hear this roar come across. And you know it's a lion. But that's why you have those guides with you. And, you know, people begin to get up and scramble, and, you know, because they were afraid, because they are not used to hearing that. But he said, Bolin, when you hear that lion roar, they're going to wake you up out of your sleep. So he said the guys came in and told him, no, that lion is quite a few miles away, because he's probably about 5 miles away, because you can hear him over that distance. Isn't that amazing? That a lion's roar can put or be heard over 5 miles. So that's why the scripture said in Proverbs, but you are as bold, the godly are as bold as a lion. So get your roar back. So put your hands on yourself and say, I'm going to get my roar back. I'm going to get my bite back. I'm going to get my fight back. I'm going to get my swag back, because the godly are as bold as a lion. So I want to quickly give you 5 things that you've got to do if you're going to get your roar back, how to get your confidence back. And what you have to understand in this simple principle I'm about to share with you is that you have to cultivate it in your life. You have to be in circumstances, or should I say, you have to be in an environment that will cultivate you living the Word of God in your life. And the word that I came up with, I know this is bad English, but the word I want to give you is Godfidence, not just confidence, Godfidence. Stay with me. Because confidence is really not about you. It's about the one who lives inside of you. So if you're going to get your roar back, you've got to get your Godfidence back. Because sometimes people lose confidence because they are all up in their heads about themselves. But if you will get your focus off you and onto the God of your salvation, through his word, through Christ Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, through the power of the resurrection, you will find confidence restored in your life through God's event based on these 5 principles I want to give you. So very quickly, because my time is running short. Number one, God didn't make no junk. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 14 from the New Living Translation Bible. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 14, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. God didn't make no junk. God did not make no junk. Remember, Genesis 1 and 26 says, and God said, and let us create man after our likeness, to be like us. A mindset. Oh, God. So the psalmist is saying, I am made marvelously. God didn't make no junk. I'm not inferior. I'm not inadequate. I'm not insufficient. He has wonderfully and marvelously made me, because the word says so. God don't make no junk. And if you don't remember anything else about this teaching, you need to understand that regardless of what other people have said about you, regardless of what labels other people have put on you, you are wonderfully and fearfully and marvelously made. There is nothing inadequate or insufficient or inferior about how God has made you. You have been made in his image and his likeness. God didn't make no junk. This is why it's important to your soul to get your confidence back. It's important because your soul is your mind. It's important to get it in your mind, to get it in your will, to get it into your intellect and your emotions, that God did not make no junk. Cast not away your confidence, which has reward. And if you look at it from the New King James Bible, it says great recompense of reward. That's a payment, my brothers and sisters. That's a payment to every listener who will join himself to Christ Jesus. Point number two, principle number two. God made you with purpose and potential. He made you with purpose and potential. You have significance and you have ability. Ephesians 2 and 10 from the New International Version of the Bible. It says, for we are God's handiwork. Isn't that something? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I got to talk right there for a minute. For we are God's handiwork. Is anybody a parent? My daughter was at my house yesterday and the other day, and she said something negative. And I let her mother have her say so. And after my wife said what she said to our daughter, here's what I said to her. I said, first of all, you need to understand who your daddy is, because your daddy don't think like that and didn't raise you to think like that, because you ain't no junk. So I don't care what your friends may say, because apparently somebody said something negative to her. I said, you need to remember the stock that you came from, because your mama and your daddy ain't no junk. You are our handiwork, my Lord, my God. So if we can say that in the flesh to our children, good God Almighty, we can say it back to society and the enemy. We are God's handiwork. Ah. And that's purpose. That's potential. So there is nobody listening here today that truly can say my life has no value. My life has no significance. I'm just an accident. I'm a mistake. Nah. Since God made you and put you on planet Earth, you have purpose and potential all over your life. And since you are here, you've got something to do. You've got a purpose to live in. You've got people who need you in their lives, who need you attached to their lives. This thing is getting personal to me, Sister Diane. Can I make it personal for a moment? Did anybody see the movie Remember the Titans? I went to T.C. Williams High School, and my brother was on that team, and I'm 5 years behind him, and we went 27-0 in basketball. And I got cut from that basketball team. Can you believe that? Yeah, I know. A few years later, while working my way part-time through college at Safeway, I met my wife. And while getting to know my wife, God sent Bishop Porter into my life. And for the past 26 years, I have been in ministry where I thought I was going to be a basketball player. I'm a pastor and an elder. I'm a teacher of the gospel of Christ. I am a fisherman of men and women and soon to be ordained as a chaplain. So don't let anyone tell you that you don't have purpose and potential in the face of something going wrong that you thought you should have had or thought you should have been. But when you lock into the purpose and potential that God has for you and has created you for, you'll walk in it. And God will allow the evidence of it to be made known so you can be a blessing unto other people's life. That's the Abrahamic covenant, Sister Diane. And I love the Abrahamic covenant. And it's Genesis 12:1-3. And when you follow it up in the New Testament and pick it up in Hebrews 6 and 13, it says, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. I don't know, but I want to say this. I have never found anything else in that Bible where God swore over a covenant. And that's the only one I can find today. And I might be wrong, but until now, it's the only one that I have found that God took an oath on, so that means something to God. Cast not away your confidence. Number three, God's strength is greater than your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10 from the New Living Translation. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. We know the story. This is Paul. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For where I am weak, then I am strong. God's strength is greater than your weakness. Let me say it this way. Many times we are taught to spend much time on our weaknesses. what we don't have, what we are not good at, or what we failed at, because I need to remind you here that it's in your moments of failure and weakness of defeat that you've got to lean back on the strength of the Lord, because his strength is greater than your weaknesses. I know we have to learn from our mistakes and failures in life, but God does not want you to waddle in them, but he wants you to get up from them through his strength and his power. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Henceforth, this equals up to that word that I shared with you, God forbid. Principle number four. God finishes whatever he starts. Philippians 1:6, New King James Version Bible. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, highlight that, will complete it in the day of Christ. Confidence, confidence. He who begun, whatever God starts, God finishes. You might not be where you want to be right now, but you are not where you used to be. You are a work in progress, and God is faithful to complete it in you. So don't give up on yourself, because God is not giving up on you. Are you with me? Because if you give up on yourself long enough, the enemy will convince you to give up on God. In other words, don't throw in the towel. Can I share another personal nugget with you? One time many years ago, before God called me to ministry, I wanted to throw in the towel on my marriage. Watch this, Sister Diane. I went to crying out to God and telling God, I'm going on by my way. I'll see you on the other side. You know what God did to me, Sister Diane? He threw the towel back at me and said, your marriage is honorable in my sight, and I started a good work in you. Now go back and fight for your marriage. And here I am 40 years later. God finishes what he starts. Principle number five, God will keep whatever you give him. I'm confident in God. As I look at these statements here, God didn't make no junk. I'm confident that God made you with purpose and potential. I'm confident in God's strength, that God's strength is greater than your weaknesses. I'm confident that God finishes whatever he starts. And I'm confident that whatever I give to God, God will keep whatever I give to him. Sometimes, Sister Diane, you just can't tell nobody else. You can't talk to nobody else about it. That's fine, because there's two sides to that coin. Yes, we need somebody in the flesh to talk to sometimes, but it's just that thing that you know. Can't nobody do this one but God. 2 Timothy 1:12 from the NLV Bible, the New Life Version Bible. For this reason I am suffering, but I am not ashamed. I know the one in whom I have put my trust. I am sure he is able to keep me safe, to keep safe that which I have trusted to him until the day he comes again. How do I know that I can walk in confidence? Because the word of God tells me that God got us. That once you put your life in his hand, he's going to keep you, protect you. And you will never be alone. My past, my present, and my future is in God's hand. Paul told Timothy, who was struggling with confidence, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And Timothy was a young man who was leading a church of about 30,000 people at that time. And Paul said to him, get back your confidence. I started this teaching with one of my favorite scriptures since I've been saved, Hebrews 10:35-36. Therefore, cast not away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. Endure this time, my brothers and sisters. I know it hurts. To everyone who has lost one, saw a loved one through these killings, I know it hurts. But if you endure with confidence and trust in the living God, so that after you will have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Get your confidence back. Sister Diane.
Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for that awesome word that just came forth, and I will begin to say, Pastor Bowling. Amen. That was an awesome word. Did you get your confidence back today? We still have a little time left on the broadcast. If you have a question or anything that you would like to ask Elder Bowling, just go ahead and press that one on your phone. You may need some more understanding on what it is that he was talking about. You may want to receive God as your Lord and Savior. Go ahead and press that one. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for using Pastor Bolin this day, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for using him to bring forth that word of confidence, Lord Father. Those, Lord Father, that have lacked confidence in their life, Lord Father. Father, that they may increase right now, Lord Father. And Father, we ask that you refresh, refill, and rejuvenate him, Lord Father, as he pour out into your people, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, we glorify and magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have missed this broadcast from the beginning, let me tell you, it was some awesome listening. You can visit our Facebook page at Logion International Ministries and click on that link. You might want to share it with someone today. You know, someone that you know that's in need right now of that confidence, the confidence in God, and knowing that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he makes no mistakes. God makes no mistake. So trust in him today. Again, you can listen to this broadcast from the beginning. You can go to our Facebook page, Logion International Ministries. Logion International Ministries on Facebook. Amen. I tell you, share it with a friend. Share it, share it, share it. You can tune in tomorrow for another session of Blog Talk Radio at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So share it with a friend. Share the number and tell them go ahead and call in. Again, that number is 347-857-3925. And that is every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Fail not to gather yourself daily, learning more about God. Get in that peaceful place. Draw others into the kingdom. Ask God to use you this day. Build their confidence in God. Build their confidence in God. Reach out that hand today to that person. Don't be selfish. Don't be greedy with the word. Don't just eat it for yourself. Share the food that you continually get about God today. Amen and amen. So again, join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that call-in number is 347-857-3925. So then, you be blessed.
I left go when I let go. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah. As soon as I stop worrying, God.